Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pokhana Limited Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to Pokhana Limited's Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Gautam Charan Jain, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Paras Kumar Jain, Chief Executive Officer, Pokhana Engineers Stone Limited. I trust most of you have gone through the communication and the results mailed to you earlier. In the interest of time, we would like to commence with Q&As immediately. I'd like to hand it over to the moderator to open the floor for Q&As. Over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to understand on what was the impact on the margins because of the increase in freight cost and the raw material inflation, which has been impacting all the companies. My second question was more related to what is your thoughts or what are your thoughts on how the U.S. countertop market is expected to grow with now the interest rates increasing? The third question was related to any update that you might have on how the investigation on the Malaysian quartz imports, which USITC had started. Any update on the same would be quite helpful.
Yeah. On your first question, how the raw material inflation and the freight costs are impacting, as you see that, the inflation in commodities is happening across all the industries and not specifically to quartz. Typically, the raw material prices have increased significantly, especially the polyester resin. We've seen year-on-year over 100% increase in the polyester resin prices. Same has been with the freight also, and apart from that, be it all the other raw materials, we've seen significant increases between 30%-100% happening only on the other basic raw materials. Also with the fuel prices going up, even the local transportation and the other services costs also have gone up. Typically, all these factors impact anything between 5%-7% on the EBITDA margin. That's the reason you see that on overall basis, there has been a contraction of the margin. That is a primary factor. Secondly, also the product mix is also an important factor in the margin determination, because if we are able to sell a high value product at a particular price during a particular time frame, the margins typically tend to not contract as much as they would have contracted had the price for the product been on the lower side. Predominantly, I would attribute the product mix and the inflation as primary reason for the contraction of the margin. That's point number one. Coming to your second question on what was the second question?
Demand of your-
Demand, on the U.S. demand, see, we don't currently see any demand-related challenges in the U.S. market. While the stimulus has been rolled back and also the mortgage rates have gone up and probably will go up. Because we believe that our product positioning and customer profile is little different, and we typically cater to middle to higher income related housing. That predominantly doesn't get impacted by the mortgage movements, what currently has happened. we don't see any demand-related challenges in the market, and that has been our visibility even for the current quarter and also some of the coming quarters as well. Now, coming to the third question on Malaysian investigation, the whatever information what we have from the publicly available sources is that the department has issued questionnaires to the importers of Malaysian quartz and also to the producers of Malaysian quartz to determine the scope. So a lot of companies have filed response, some of them have not filed response. So in case the department views that there has been a circumvention and Chinese have been trying to sell quartz made in China into US via Malaysia route, then there is a high probability that the US Department of Commerce may determine a circumvention case and applicable duties would come into force. But I think that's going to take a time, is what is our assessment at the moment.
Sure, sir. And sir, just a related question on margin and also on the working capital side. So have you taken any price hikes? Because some of the competitors in US have already indicated they have taken price hikes in order to pass on the RM inflation. So were you able to take any price hikes? And second, the working capital seems to be a little stretched in FY22. So if you can throw some light on why the, that has been the case.
We have a different approach on pricing policy. So it need not necessarily be a price hike on the existing product. We also try to sometimes compensate our pricing by introduction of new products and trying to compensate what we are losing on certain products by getting some new products into the market. So we need not necessarily follow what competition does. And we've successfully introduced certain new products and we've been able to get the price what we believe on those. So that's point number one. Point number two on working capital, yes, it is stretched as you see from the cash flow. Because the sales cycle this time, because of the shipping challenge, is relatively longer than what it would have been in the normal circumstances, because usually the payments are due when the bill of lading comes in or when the material is on board. So like typically when we ship out of certain ports, what happens is like we've seen containers reaching the ICD but not reaching the port for 60 or 80 days within India itself because of the blank sailings or non-availability of space or whatever it is. So unless the containers reach the port, we don't get the, or on board the ship, we don't get the bill of lading. And then that's how we are not able to get on our payments also process. But I think with the container situation now dramatically easing, at least in the last couple of months than what it was in the last financial year, probably the sales cycle and the working capital cycle should become healthier than what it was in the recent past.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Deshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the utilization of the new plant. If you can mention for the Q4, I mean, how much was the utilization? And whatever sales growth we are seeing as of now, it's like you mentioned that we are not increasing prices. So whatever sales growth we are seeing is predominantly volume-led growth. And my second question is, you also highlighted about the, you know, the product mix also changes the margin. So how do you see FY23? Because obviously I feel when the new plant has started, we started with the basic product and as the utilization goes up, we try to, you know, play with the design and colors and all. So how do you see it going forward?
So typically the utilization levels are now around 70% and now we are looking at going beyond that. And what predominantly in terms of the revenue what you have seen going up or for that matter a little contraction in the margin is also because of the new plant where, as you rightly said, we are largely concentrating on basics and now we have started the process of getting certain medium to and designs and then eventually we'll have a optimum product mix, as I can say, which can balance out both the capacity utilization and also give us the right numbers. So that is where our focus currently is, that focus on capacity utilization to the maximum possible and then start getting in the new products where the realizations are better than what we currently see.
Yeah. And how do you see the margins for FY23? Can we come back to, let's say, in a couple of quarters, come back to what we used to make?
Yeah. I believe that if the shipping prices has become normalized and if this inflation tapering, which is happening and goes in the same direction for a couple of quarters, I think bouncing back to the better numbers than what we currently reported is definitely possible.
Okay. And one last question, and then I join back in the queue. How is the scenario from the hospitality segment now that everything is opened up? Because that's a high-margin business also.
Yeah. Hospitality industry is relatively today in a better position than what it was about 6 months back. So the inquiry, the order funnel, the inquiry funnel is definitely better. Now we have to see how the order funnel comes into. So I think if things are better and if there is no another monkeypox or COVID story coming in, probably hospitality will revive sooner.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, just wanted to know this debt of 500 crore plus, how do we see this moving over the next couple of years? And when will you take the next round of capacity expansion, if any?
No, debt, our decision is that now we have to keep reducing the debt. So our unit one is already debt-free. So debt, what you see is basically the new debt of the unit two and some promoter's debt, which is still not paid. So we for sure will be bringing down debt. That is our first target now before we embark on a major expansion.
Okay. And these two units, do they have scope for any brownfield expansion, if any, if you want to take your peak revenue potential at these plants by a minor tweaking here and there? Or next round, you need a new plant?
I understand your point. So as you know, that both the units have sufficient land available, and originally, the plants have been put in such a way that we can do brownfield expansion, whether for major expansion also or for a minor tweaking for new product mix. So that, of course, we will be continue to do it, but not with the major investments.
Okay. And sir, my second question is, in the past call, you were expecting the capacity utilization to be like 100%, and you were viewing a fairly robust demand scenario. The capacity utilization expectation of 100% was in this year, FY23. Are there any changes there? We are already at about 70% for the second plant. Is there any change on thought process there?
I would first mention that we never say that we will utilize 100% capacity, because it is very subjective. The capacity utilization depends on the order mix, the product mix, the thickness mix. So this kind of plant will never have 100% capacity utilization. So it all depends on the orders, and we will be always aiming at optimum utilization of the capacity, and we have already working on three-shift production facilities. But don't forget that we need to spend time on cleaning of the machines, and it all depends on what color we are making and when we are cleaning the machine. So our optimum utilization is the target, but it can never be 100% capacity utilization.
Sorry, the word is optimum, and apologies for that. So that optimum utilization, do you see it happening in 23?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And sir, my question on Granite, when do you see normalization of business profitability there or absolute? Because that business hasn't grown. It's been in a certain range. Do you foresee it coming back to that range, or there are any challenges?
I don't foresee any large expansion or growth in the Granite business. Presently, if you see, it is basically because the block sales have come down, and that reason is being that the Chinese buyers are not allowed to come to India. They don't get visa for coming to India. And then also the shipping challenges. So a lot of blocks which have been produced are lying unsold or unmoved to the port and not shipped to the countries. So it all depends on how the situation will improve. But I don't foresee a great double-digit growth or substantial growth happening in granite business. Also because the business has become very competitive and we have no interest to do business without profits. So we are very particular that whatever business we do, we should not lose money. And in quarrying operations, again, it depends on the yield coming out of the quarries. So
right.
I will sum it up that I don't foresee a great growth happening in the granite business.
Sir, on the debt figure, would you be able to repay at 100 crore per annum run rate, the debt figure, or that optimistic?
Maybe around 100 crores we should target.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthikeyan and VK from Suresh Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions. So one is that you had a fairly large amount of inventory lying at the end of the year. How much of that would be transit inventory? The reason I'm also asking you this is, the large inventory, does that make it difficult for you to improve profitability? Some thoughts on that would be interesting.
Are you asking about the granite company?
No, sir. I'm talking about the consolidated numbers and most of the inventory anyway I thought was at the subsidiary level. So,
see, if you see the inventory,
yes,
there are two, three reasons for this inventory.
Hmm.
When you talk of granite, the inventory was lying in the quarries. When we talk of quartz, a lot of inventory has been in transit within the factory to the ICD, to the port. And then it is not recognized because we don't recognize the sale till the bill of lading is received.
So this should get converted in the very first quarter. That would be a substantial number because I remember seeing 175 crore of inventory, which is quite substantial, even if I assume a 60% gross margin number.
See, typically what happens is that specific to the quartz, about a month sale is always more or less within the pipeline somewhere or the other pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it in the, and sometimes it is more than a month, especially if it is out of Hyderabad because the it's not a port unlike Vizag where we directly put the material on port, into this Vizag port. Here it is typically at ICD or sometimes sitting in Navasheva and then onwards.
Right.
So, typically, I think this cycle will, unless the shipping scenario completely improves, including now on the granite side, unless the Chinese story is sorted out. So, I think 30 to 45 days typically will be in the transit for some more time.
Yeah.
And also, please don't forget that this inventory is not finished product. It is
okay.
Also work in progress and also the raw material inventory altogether.
Right.
And
also right.
These times when the supply chains are completely broken down, we are forced to keep inventories of certain items beyond our regular stock level because we don't know when, like suppose we are importing some items from Europe or some other parts of the world, we have to actually order more than what we need and
right.
To keep this, make sure that we don't lose out on the demand opportunities.
So sure.
I think it's all related to the supply chain scenarios. If there is an improvement in supply chain scenario, I think largely this should get addressed.
Great, great. Just to understand the pricing mechanism better, sir, is there a, can I assume that all of this would be priced, passed on to the customers? How should one understand pricing?
No, if it is not passed to the customer, then it is priced as per our inventory valuation policy. So we don't value that on the basis of the sale price, whatever the cost of production or the purchase, whichever is low, or realizable value, whichever is low.
Let me clarify my question. What I'm asking you is, assuming you buy inventory today, based on future orders, right? And if I, how exactly does the pricing mechanism work for your customers? Are you able to pass on the cost increases to your customers or, that risk is with you? That is what I'm trying to understand.
What happens is that our pricings are relatively fixed. So we don't have a pass-through mechanism that if I buy something at 10 rupees and if I can pass on additional 10 rupees extra to my customer, that doesn't work. It's a fixed price. Mm-hmm. That's the reason, you know, the all this typically impact to some extent. So this is taking care of the inflation of the raw materials what we have currently.
Right. A second question related to the Malaysian issue that you spoke about, sir. Would Malaysia be a large player in the game, and therefore can the opportunity be substantial for the Indian company?
See, I don't consider that because when China was there, it was a substantial opportunity. Some spillover demand happened. If tomorrow Malaysia is closed, the guys may look at Indonesia, somebody may feel the Philippines, Vietnam. So that story keeps the producers, typically Chinese, they'll keep looking at some options apart from whatever. So I don't think we should read too much into Malaysia spillover getting into India.
Right. I said you said you would reach optimum utilization sometime this year, which means that you would have to think in terms of expansion very soon. So what am I missing out here?
Typically what happens is that, you know, always in business there are several opportunities we keep evaluating. So so there is definitely a process of evaluation which happens on a regular basis. So it's difficult to comment at the moment as to what we will do and when we will do. And whenever we will do, we'll definitely keep you guys informed.
Of course. So the next round of expansion, would it be, say, an order of magnitude lower than the last CapEx you did? Because you said that substantial provision has already been made for expansion at a new unit as well, because the CapEx was 450 crores or so.
Chairman just pointed out the focus is definitely on debt reduction, but at the same time, we'll also keep the opportunities which came in the mind. So maybe the second expansion need not necessarily be of the magnitude what we did, because we already have certain land, building and other infrastructure in place. So it need not be of that scale.
Sure. Great. Thank you so much and very best, Vishal sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One, I just want to re-clarify. We mentioned that the sales growth this year in quads is largely volume related and we have not taken the price increase. Is that the correct understanding?
Yeah, because we had a unit 2 coming up. So we had a lot of volume coming out of unit 2. So there we are doing our basic materials at the moment.
Okay, so there is an impact of raw material inflation, and then also there is a mix which is towards the basic products which has compressed the gross margin.
There is an impact of raw material inflation. There is an impact on of all other services cost, including shipping, and also definitely the product mix.
Okay, and in case of receivable, so basically when we look at the delta, if I look at last year, the receivables were around 43 crores and this year it has become 143 crores. So considering the scale has doubled from March 21 to 22, even after adjusting for that, how should we look at, I mean, has there been any change in the payment terms or is this largely to do with the consignment which is in transit and for which money is yet to be received? So, I mean, how should I understand the receivable days?
See, typically, it is a combination of both. As I said at one of the previous questions, that the cash conversion cycle is relatively longer now because of the shipping challenges. So that is also impacting the debtor days. And also with the addition of certain large volume customers, there has been a change in certain payment terms as well. So these are the two factors which actually has got the, I think to some extent, this should get adjusted in next quarters.
Okay. This is it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Fatima Khan from Kambatta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I have a follow-up question on the margin side. The current presentation mentions that the operating margin was impacted by container unavailability and increased freight cost. But if we look at the previous con call, which was the last quarter, it was mentioned by the management that the freight cost is typically borne by the buyers. So So how does that impact the margin? It's like, you know, I can understand the impact on the revenues, but not on the margin compression part because of the freight cost.
There are two aspects to it, that one is on the input. When we buy a lot of raw materials from Belgium, Norway, and other parts of the world. So what I was buying at €500 a container is now €4,000 a container, and that's a big bulk buying. So to some extent, the raw materials also get impacted because of that shipping cost, which is actually borne by us. That is point number one. Point number two is that in the past, the way we price it, we consider certain shipping costs and give the complete proposal to the customer that, okay, this is going to be a landed price. Now, the buying prices have significantly gone up while the selling prices remain same. So while we pass it on, the margin actually has contracted. So what otherwise I would have gained extra over the shipping, I'm not able to gain today. So that is again impacting my margins.
In addition to that, the marketing shows that we do fell through the last quarter, and that also has impacted the margins.
Okay. So when do you expect a normalization in this?
So typically, with the inflation cycle relatively being better than what it was in the last year, I think second half of the year probably will give a good clarity and probably will help us in getting the margins back to better levels than what you saw in the last financial year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Svan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sachin, but we cannot hear you clearly, sir. Not that clear, sir.
Okay. My question was on the working capital cycle, sir. You have mentioned there are certain one-off factors because of which it's elevated both on the inventory as well as on the debtor side. If you give us some sense, you know, how much reduction that could be possible in the next two, three quarters once things stabilize as revenues are there.
Sachin, your voice is not clear. Can you please come back?
Sure. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Tatiya from Intelsense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is this sales and marketing event cost that came in Q4. Can you please provide the number? What was the quantum?
3.5 crores.
Sales and marketing promotion expense. How much did you book? Give us a moment. We'll give you the number.
272.
272. 2.7 crores.
Okay. Okay. And sir, this 183 crore of inventory, roughly, what would be the finished goods inventory and what would be the rest?
In addition to.
I think at the on the.
CSR actually 1.6 and 2.4 marketing expenses. No, no. Foreign exchange loss.
Foreign exchange loss is 2.
48. 42 is finished goods. No, at consolidated level, not at consolidated. This one, right? Finished good is 85 crores.
Switch on?
Yeah, it's switched on.
Okay. Okay.
Raw material is about 38, and work in progress is about 30, and then consumable stores and spares and all that is about 39.5. And then working materials and all about 7 crores.
Okay. Okay. And sir, I think Chairman sir was trying to say something, 2.7 crore, and then maybe there were some other costs. I think we lost the management line for a minute.
On the year, on the overall year basis, we also had a hit of foreign exchange fluctuation because when we made our payment towards the capital goods, which we bought for Unit 2, we took about 7 crores foreign exchange fluctuation loss also on the full year basis.
Okay. 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 Understood. So my second question is, I mean, macro, I think, has definitely changed in terms of interest rates. We track housing companies in US. The demand has fallen down. But you seem fairly confident that, you know, you will reach optimum utilization. So can you give us some soft pointers, you know, in terms of customer engagement or order book? I mean, where does this confidence, you know, stem from?
Basically, when we talk, typically we talk based on what we are seeing, feeling and experiencing in the market, be it our engagement with the customers or be it with what we see in the order book position and in general our discussions with the different participants in the trade. So I think I can't give you the exact number, but what I can tell you is that we are talking about the demand scenario, keeping in view our order book position and also our experience in the market.
And also, I think we should make one point that the demand is not fallen down. I don't think we have ever said that the demand is fallen down.
They are assuming that based on the scenario of housing, that could be a situation. That's their assumption.
So, sir, would it be a fair guess that you have roughly, let's say, 9 to 10 months of order book visibility? Would that be a fair assumption based on what you are saying?
See, usually the order books are not for 9 to 12 months in hand. Typically, we have 3 to 6 months. But then it is a rolling number, which because the productions are based on the forecast which we have annually, and then we keep updating the forecast what we receive from the customers. So we have a decent visibility of the future.
Okay. And then, so my last question is, in the past, we have talked about, you know, exploring new geographies, Europe, maybe Israel, Australia, growing the domestic market. So in a hypothetical scenario that, you know, U.S. demand is not what we expect it to be, would we be able to scale up these other geographies fairly fast? I mean, do you have some sort of initial engagements in some of these geographies, and will be able to bring that business up quickly?
Typically, U.S. is the largest consuming market in the world. So I don't see any one particular or few particular markets making up for what U.S. wouldn't be able to take. While we engage in different markets, but I'd be honest to say that our eggs are in U.S. market and we are positive about that market. So I don't have any alternate market ready to absorb what U.S. market wouldn't be absorbing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Singhania from Stage One Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for allowing me. So my question is with respect to the logistics, in terms of our total sales of ports, what percentage of contract is through the FOB route and how much percentage is through the CIF route when it comes to shipment?
It typically, it depends upon how the scenario will pan out, but it can be anything between 30 to 40% would be on CIF basis and the rest would be on FOB.
And sir, this number changes very frequently every year, like meaningfully it changes or it changes?
It can change because if the customers are not able to get their contracts in place, they will definitely like to use our contracts or our associations with the freight agencies. So that can change.
And what was this trend in H2 of previous financial year?
It was higher side. Because we were having good contracts than our customers, so we were able to support them. Because in these times, I know a lot of companies have not been able to ship even 25 to 30% of their inventory.
Right. And sir, when we do CIF basis, then in terms of the total container value, what percentage is the logistic cost?
It depends upon the value of the material. So like for a basic material, if it can be even 50%. Or sometimes 40%, but for good values, I think it's fair to assume that anything between 5 to 7% is the normalized number.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
So your voice is still breaking.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Your voice is breaking a lot.
Okay. I will come back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, assuming for unit 2, optimum product mix and optimum utilization, how much incremental revenue we can do? A very ballpark number will be fine.
So it depends. Anything between 20 to 30% increment is possible.
On FY22 revenues, you are saying incremental 20-30.
We have not given the breakup between 1 and 2. I'm talking about what increment is possible from 2, but I can't give you a number of 2 for competitive reasons.
Okay. Okay. So broadly, sir, at total capacity, my question is like how much incremental growth we can achieve at current total all capacities available. 20-30% annual growth is possible?
See, till the time we reach the optimum capacity, yes. But once we reach the optimum capacity, then reaching the 20-30% number is definitely a challenge year on year.
Okay.
But I think for this financial year, I think that number, whatever we reported about 20-30% on that should be a fair assumption.
Okay. And sir, how much of our quartz revenue is from private label and how much from the branded segment?
See, largely the revenue is from the white label or private label manufacturing. Brand typically is getting built largely in the India and the US market. But then building up a brand, especially in geographies like US, is a different ball game altogether. So we've not taken that path of being aggressive in the US market, but we are definitely much aggressive in the Indian market in building the brand.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Is it clear now?
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah. From the domestic market, if you can tell us how FY22 has gone by, if you could share some numbers on that, and how are you seeing the traction and the overall growth outlook for the Indian market in the next 1 to 2 years?
The Indian market, without revealing you the absolute number, what I can share with you is that we've grown about 50% in Indian market than what we were in FY21. So while the numbers are still low, but I think with the brand building exercise and the reach what we are establishing and what to some extent we've already established. I invite you guys to look at the website to find out where we are currently available in India at different locations. You can see that the reach is growing beyond Hyderabad, all the way from Delhi to Kochi. You can find our products at multiple locations. So idea is to go much beyond than what you currently see there. And while it will never in the near future be close to US sales, but I think from a brand visibility perspective and being a B2C brand in India, I think the journey is really exciting and very promising as well.
But sir, do you think in 2-3 years the domestic can be a significant contributor to revenues, or it will remain more of initially a seeding market at least for the next 2-3 years?
I think next couple of years definitely it should be a seeding market only and not become a major contributor. But I think in a 5-year scenarios, I can say that probably one of the top 5 markets it would be.
Okay. Second question is regarding this inventory. You mentioned that both inventory and debtors look higher because of certain one-offs which are beyond company's control. And you expect some of them to gradually ease off in the next 2-3 quarters. How much of the impact currently on the working capital would be because of this one-off factor? It's like 50, 60 crores or close to like 100 crores?
I think about 50 crores would be impact of all those factors.
Okay. And on the inventory side, you mentioned that as we ramp up now, we are at 70% in this quarter in the new plant. As we ramp up to 90 to 100%, so should we assume that as we scale up, we don't need too much more inventory, and hence the overall inventory level in terms of number of days will keep coming down as we reach full, and or maybe, sorry, the optimum utilization in the plant too also?
Yeah, so as we increase the capacity utilization, definitely certain factors would get eased out. But then predicting what absolute number it would be down would be, I think, a little crystal gazing at this point in time. I think we should wait for another quarter or so to see how the ramp up happens and how the easing situation happens to get a better clarity on that.
Sure. And one thing on margins, you have mentioned that there is a certain one of cost, and secondly on the pricing also, we normally don't like to go and, you know, increase price suddenly. But is it that like we don't ever look for a price increase, or is it that we go them like once in a year and hence we could see some revisions maybe in another 2-3 quarters when they come up for renewal the contracts? Or is it that the input cost increase or decrease is something that we have to take as part of the business plan and hence see volatility in margins?
When I say that we don't ask for price increase, does not necessarily mean that we never go for price increase. So we have definitely taken price increases in the past from our customers, but then there are certain strategies which we follow to on a long-term basis. So it's not necessarily that all the costs have to be always necessarily absorbed by us. So we are following a pricing strategy based on the customer profile and the market and what our future opportunities could be. So, and then we are trying to balance it with both the options available, and I think at some point in time the other option would also be used.
Sure. And sir, on the old plant, would we have worked at optimum utilization, or that would have also been low utilization this quarter?
The old plant is optimum utilization, as we just mentioned in the previous questions as well. Optimum utilization is a factor which is predominantly influenced by the designs what you make. So considering all those factors, you are the first plant is already into optimum utilization for a long, long time now.
Sure. And then one last question regarding the previous question regarding plans to further increase capacity. And it was mentioned that we are looking at two things. One would be reduction of debt, and second would be reaching optimum utilization and better product mix. So are there certain things like we could look like, for example, if the debt would come down like 350 crores, we would look at the next round of expansion, or once we reach optimum utilization and stay there and have good product mix for 3-4 quarters, we'll plan the next expansion. If you could give some insights there.
See, as the chairman just pointed out in a previous question, the debt reduction is definitely one of our important items of consideration. But at the same time, we are also equally balanced and looking at the opportunities available in the market for the expansion. So we don't have absolute number in the hand for the expansion at the moment. But as also said before, that definitely the new expansion need not necessarily be of the size and scale what we did in the recent past. So that's what I can actually comment on the expansion at the moment. But we are not saying that we are just keeping quiet. It's what we mean to say is that we are not making large expand capex programs at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. My first question is on the domestic market. So we had a target of reaching 500 locations in the next 3 years. If you can talk about what is the number at the end of FY22 and the target for FY23, as well as if you can give the update on the integrated things, how is the traction coming? This is the first question on domestic.
Yeah, so I think we are close to 100 locations right now, and the process of journey towards 2025 or 500 is there in our site. So we don't have a number for 23, but we are looking at 500 by 25. So I think whatever is needed to reach there, we are doing that. That's point number one. Point number two, in terms of the integrated sync, the market traction has been good. So already the product is launched in the Indian market at many locations in Bombay, Delhi, and other parts of the country. Wherever we have our display locations with our premier dealers, you can actually see the product as well. So while it's a very niche product at a very nascent stage, but I think the traction what we are receiving, because we are the only company in the world today to offer this product. And in India, we are giving this possibility because we are also doing a end-to-end 360-degree service. So we are able to get the integration done at the factory and then get it installed at the customer's place. So I think it's a promising segment to be, and we are excited about it.
Sir, on this domestic market, 100 becoming 500 in the next 4-5 years. So can the turnover, if we are doing X crore in this year, can the turnover become like 10X in the next 3-4 years?
If we are doing X today from these customers, then it can become 4 to 6X if we reach those numbers.
Sure, sir. My next question is on the product mix. So like you talked about old plant, there is a new plant also. There is this basic product, then there is medium end, and then there is high end. If you can broadly talk about the range, what is the mix currently in old plant? What is the mix
old plant,
in new plant?
Typically has medium to higher end end products compared to the new plant. New plant largely has the basic products.
Okay, and going for FY23, you are talking about optimum mix. So optimum mix will be like 60-70% medium to high end will be even from new plant. Is this the optimum mix you are talking about? If you can give a range, broad range.
Typically, if we are able to get 30-40% medium and upper grade, and 60% even if it is at the lower part of medium to the basic grades, I think that's a reasonable optimization.
And for the old plant, we are already at this mix.
Yeah, old plant product mix is in a very positive scenario.
But I want to add one thing. We are a customer-driven company. It also depends on what our customers want in repeat. Sometimes they want 30 mm, sometimes they want 20 mm, sometimes they want expensive products, sometimes they want basic products. So we cannot say that we will not make basic and we will only make 30 mm to increase the realization. So it is always depending also on the customer. Though we try to introduce new products which can fetch better price realization, but let's not forget that we cannot ignore our customers.
Sure, sir. So that makes sense. My question was also that unit 2, we are making many more...
It really doesn't matter whether we make, we are only able to make in unit 2 or we are able to make in unit 1. So for a customer, we are one company. So we will look at our convenience, where we can accommodate which product for which customer when, and when is it required in the market. So these are all very hypothetical questions because we cannot have an answer. It all depends on when the customer wants what and where we can make it.
Sure, sir. Next question is on the large customers which you have talked about, which we have added. If you can talk about the number of such large customers that we have added in FY22, as well as what is the total number of large customers as of today?
See, we usually do not give any number on how many customers we work with or what we add. But what we can say is that the customer profile is healthy and we keep adding new customers, and wherever we feel customer is not meeting our expectations, then probably we have to relook at the customer base as well. So I think we are healthily placed in terms of the customer profile.
Sure, sir. Final question is on the, so you talked about top 5 markets. So US is number 1. What are the other rankings in terms of market for us?
So we also work in United Kingdom, the Netherlands, in Middle East, in New Zealand.
So these will be the top 5 markets for now.
Yeah.
And you think India can replace and enter this?
I think India can take the place in top 5 in next 3-4 years.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That is it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surat Devra from Paladin Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to know if you can give us a sense of how much of the sales comes from new buildings versus refurbishments.
So we'd say typically we don't have access as to what happens in the residential or the commercial segment of our product. So largely, since in US, renovation market was relatively higher than the new construction market, and then now the new construction market is also catching up. So looks like, I don't know the absolute number, but I think both the segments are catered well. Probably the commercial and the hospitality segment is relatively lower than what it was in the past. Because we don't sell it to the end consumers or last line or last but one line of the consumer. Most of our customers are large distributors, and then they have another couple of legs before the material actually reaches the consumer.
Right. So the reason I'm asking this is to determine if the new building housing market slows down, then would there be a material impact on the order book? Or because you have a high renovation business, that might continue. So I understand that you're one level away from the customer, you're selling to distributors and dealers. But if you could give some color on how that might shape up in a weaker housing environment, that would be really helpful.
So basically, it's very, as I said in one of the previous questions, is that demand scenario seems to be definitely promising. We don't see any impact of any mortgages or new building constructions coming down on our business. So while I cannot comment with absolute certainty as to what will happen after a year or so, but currently, we don't see any challenges related to demand.
And is it also partly because quartz is still replacing other types of surfaces, and India is taking share in the US market? Are these two factors contributing to the demand coming your way?
See, basically, we've been in business for over a decade now. So we've always been the top exporters out of India, and we continue to be. And quartz as a product is definitely one of the best available alternate to many other surfaces which are used on kitchen countertops. So that is primarily reason, because it is also taking away a lot of share from solid surface, laminates, from granite and other natural stones. So quartz being a better product, market being a stable product, stable, and I think all other economic factors being okay, that seems to be driving the demand.
Thanks. And one just last question, clarification on something you said earlier. You said that if shipping prices go down and if inflation eases, then your margins will go back to last year's levels. Is my understanding correct?
You're absolutely on that.
So it's not that if those factors don't reverse, just from the change in the product mix and your price increases, that won't be sufficient for you to go back to earlier margins.
Yeah, see, basically it is a combination of factors. It is not one factor in isolation. So I think the overall inflation, and if inflation improves and if the shipping costs go up again, the challenges would come in. Either it will impact the sale or it will impact the cost of sales. So I think both the factors have to get normalized before things become relatively normal.
Okay, but I mean, let's assume status quo on all the inflationary factors. Would the, you know, your regular product mix improvement and pricing changes, would that help to at least bring back by a couple of hundred basis points, or that's looking difficult?
Yeah, we always look at making more efficient, trying to get more profit from our efficiency than always going through a price increase process. So that process of being more efficient is already on. So if the inflation is relatively in control, then probably a little improvement in margin can happen with some more efficiency on which we are working.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating on our Q4 and call. Look forward to talking to you again in Q1 FY23. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Pokharna Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.